Feverish negotiations are underway at the United Nations this week, either in support of or to block a Palestinian bid for statehood. President Mahmoud Abbas has vowed to present a request for international recognition of a Palestinian state to the 15-member Security Council Friday. A Security Council resolution could lead to admission of Palestinians to the UN as a non-member observer state, similar to the Holy See's own status. Currently, the PLO is listed as an observer to the UN. Well, what would statehood mean to the Palestinians, and how hopeful are they that their request will muster the support it needs? I put those questions to the Auxiliary Bishop of the Latin Patriarchate of Jerusalem, William Shomali, who says Palestinians will undoubtedly feel disappointed if the U.S. makes good on its vow to veto the measure.
Palestinians are well informed about what will happen at the General Assembly and at the Security Council. They know that they will pass as non-member state at the General Assembly because they have a majority of states, and they may not pass in the Security Council because of the American veto. They are already informed. Sure, they will be disappointed, but at least it is foreseen and not unpredictable.
So are there any expectations of any violence that might follow this vote at the UN?
We hope there will be no violence because Israelis and Palestinians, and also our communique as Christian bishops in Jerusalem, we invited everyone, Israelis and Palestinians, to restrain, to auto-control themselves and not to resort to violence, because it doesn't serve any interest for anyone.
What has being citizens of a non-state meant for Palestinians? I know that things most of us take for granted, like obtaining a passport and travel, are just some of the difficulties Palestinians face.
What is the result of being non-member state? They will continue to have the same passport. The passport is already in the hands of Palestinians. But what will change is that they can be members of many organizations of the UN, and also they can have recourse to the criminal court of La Haye in case there is any aggression against Palestinians. For example, if settlements are constructed illegally on Palestinian territories recognized as occupied, Palestinians can object. So far, if they go to object, they will be rejected because they don't have the status of members of a state.
Is a Palestinian state based on the 1967 borders realistic? Those borders are already recognized in the UN Security Council Resolution 242, and we've also seen Israel reject those boundaries time after time, including that 2002 Beirut Declaration, where Arab League member states agreed to peace with Israel in exchange for its recognition of those borders.
Yes. Many resolutions of the United Nations exist, but they are like inexisting, inefficient. But now, even Obama recognizes the importance of having a Palestinian state, even Paris here. But the question is that they don't want it to come as a result of a votation in the United Nations. They want it as a result of negotiation. So the statehood in itself is not contested by anyone, but the way of obtaining it is contested. This is it. Now, for the borders, I'm sure that Israel doesn't accept the borders of pre-June 67. Palestinians accept with the possibility of swap. Swap means, you know, that they exchange territories as it is needed. So Palestinians accept the swap as it was suggested by Obama himself in his May speech.
Well, so do you see this UN bid for statehood as an attempt to force Israel's hand to get Israel back to the negotiating table?
Israel accepts to come back from today to the negotiation table. The problem is not there. The problem for Palestinians is that so far negotiations failed, and they feel they need a strong platform on which to build the negotiations. If a platform is not existing, is not acceptable for both parties, it's useless to negotiate again, because the same negotiations, without having any platform like before, will fail again. And Palestinians don't want another 15 years of negotiation for a futile exercise. This is the reason Palestinians went to the UN, because of the failure of negotiations. But if Israel today presents a good platform, and you know what I mean, Palestinians may not really make a request to the United Nations, because they know they will obtain what they want through negotiations. Why not? They are ready for that even.
How do you think all of this, what's going on in New York, is going to impact continued Israeli settlement activity?
I don't know really. It depends upon them, but I believe they will continue. I believe. But I don't know. I am not a prophet to say that they will restrain themselves from constructing new settlements. But it's a difficult issue here.
Also, the issue of Jerusalem is a very contentious issue. Both the Palestinians and the Israelis want it as their capital.
Yes. Now, first of all, let us settle the problem of the borders. When the borders are settled, everyone is free to say, this is my capital. So I don't want now to say what I think, but I think it's important, if we have two states, to have clear borders. When the borders are clear, everyone is free to say, Israelis are free to say, we want Tel Aviv to be our capital or Jerusalem. No one can impose on them. When the Palestinian borders are clear, Palestinians are free to say, we want it to Jerusalem or Bethlehem or Ramallah. So I don't want to interfere now in the decision of each one, but what is so urgent is to fix the future borders. Everyone knows I have here, but not beyond that. So this is very important, and this fixing the borders is the work of the United Nations, because it has jurisdiction on that.
Many of our listeners are based in the United States. What will this vote in the UN mean to the U.S.'s credibility in the Arab region, do you think?
I believe that the United States is losing credibility among its friends, like Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and even Jordanians, Egyptians, Palestinians. We expect from the United States to be more working for real peace, real reconciliation, international law and justice, and to respect the Arab Spring. The Arab Spring, which is taking place even here in the territories. So I believe that it is the interest of the United States to be more credible, and the test of the credibility is this issue in a specific way.
And finally, Bishop Shomali, what are the hopes of Palestinian Christians there for what could be really a momentous time in their history?
You know, Palestinian Christians are in the same time Christians and in the same time Palestinians. They want in the same time political freedom, and in the same time they need religious freedom and freedom of conscience. This is what they are looking forward. We hope that this will be achieved soon. They need religious freedom. They have it already. We can say that in Israel and in Palestine, Christians are respected, and so we can't complain. We have full freedom of worshiping in our churches, in our schools, in our establishments. No one is objecting against that. So we don't have to expect more. Freedom of conscience, it's another problem, you know, in all the Arab countries. We have to convince Arabs of the importance for everyone to have freedom of conscience. For political freedom, it depends upon how will the negotiations and the voting in the UN will end. We pray for success, because many things depend of the Lord, not only of diplomatic and political efforts.
And a warm thanks there to the Auxiliary Bishop of the Latin Patriarchate of Jerusalem, William Shomali.